formally get the point. Excellent. Well, thank you. Now with that automated message, we all know that we are being recorded and to be on our best behavior. I am your chair, Sean Milne of the Wasatch Front Regional Council Budget Committee meeting. Today's date is Thursday, October 8th, and we are about 11:20 a.m. So without further ado,
I'll do a quick introduction just to read it.
Excellent. Thank you, Andrea.
So in attendance today are Andrea Pearson, Andrew Gruber, Lovett Baumgartner, Commissioner Sean Milne, Commissioner Jeff Scott, Ned Hacker, Tim Reese, Stephen Capson, Wayne Bennion, and Councilmember Tina Cannon. We are not at a quorum.
How many more would we need? Just one more for a quorum, Andrea?
Correct.
Excellent. Okay, well, then we will treat everything as informational only today. It should not impede our ability to vet the report that we will be reviewing ahead of the council meeting. So no harm, no foul. But if we do get lucky and have one more join us, then we could go back and approve the minutes. If you will, please take a moment to review those minutes. Just email Andrea if you have any suggested changes. And aside from that, we will skip that next agenda item. And still not opening the attachment on my end, Andrea, what is the next item? Andrew, perhaps you, since Andrea is muted.
Oh, sure. And Andrea, can you drop the packet into the chat? So, oh, you did it already. So if that might be another way for that to work for the agenda. The next item is public comment.
Excellent. With that, and thank you very much for that, Andrea, and Andrew, for bringing it to my attention. This would be the appropriate time that if anyone has a comment from the public to add, to do so. I don't see any unrecognized names or participants, so I will assume that we don't have members of the public, but I'll give it a couple of seconds. Bueller. All right. Hearing no one come forward, we will proceed from that item to our next one, which is
the action on the FY21 budget amendments.
Thank you, Andrew. It takes a moment for my web browser to pull that back up and toggle back and forth. So I appreciate you working with me there. All right. So this is an action item, a recommendation for approval of the fiscal year 21 budget amendments. And with that, Andrew, do you mind if I turn over to you and Lovett a quick summary review of what those amendments are, even though they're pretty standard for those of us involved for many years?
You bet. Happy to do so. We were able to talk with Commissioner Milne as a budget committee chair about this earlier. I also do want to note that Commissioner Stevenson, Mayor Silvestrini, and Mayor Caldwell all asked to be excused. And what we're planning to do is follow up with them separately outside of this committee to make sure that they're briefed and aware of the materials here. It is possible that Michael Jensen is going to join us at any moment here. And apparently he is not going to. So I just do want to note, we have a recommended action item, which we will not be able to take official action on, but it is still important for you as a budget committee members to understand what this is. And it can still be acted on by the regional council at our meeting on October 22nd, even without formal budget committee action. Having said that, the item that we're bringing to you today is recommending for approval amendments to the FY21 budget. All of you have been at this with us for a while, and so you will recall that this is a routine item that we do every October. We finish out the FY, the previous fiscal year, so in this case, FY20. Lovett closes up all of the books, and then we amend our current year budget to reflect the final budget actions from the previous fiscal year. Basically, what that looks like is we budget the full amount for projects in one fiscal year, knowing that we are going to conduct the work on those projects over the course of multiple years. So we routinely will, at this time, at this meeting each year, see what we did in the previous year, and then roll forward or carry forward expenditures and revenues from those projects that were not completed in the previous fiscal year, and then we bring into and anticipate working on in this year. So basically, it is not new spending. It is rather a reduction from last year and then a carry forward into this year. And that's borne out across several line items in our budget, the most notable being contractual, because a lot of the carry forward is for projects through our TLC, Transportation and Land Use Connection program, where projects cross over multiple years. The details are all in your packet, a lot of details, all of the line item information. I'm not going to go over that now in the interest of time, but we'd be happy to answer any questions. The other thing I will note briefly that is happening in the budget is that was not included in the FY21 budget that was initially adopted in May of this year, is that the CARES Act, having passed, provided some additional funding that will come through WFRC through some grants, $400,000 for economic development recovery assistance to communities, and then just shy of $30,000 for administrative costs for WFRC to facilitate county grants being provided to from the counties. And in this case, it's through the CDBG program. So this is for Morgan, Tooele, and Weber County, other than Ogden. So those monies are coming through our budget and are reflected in the amendment. Other than that, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions, or have Lovett or Wayne or Ned answer any questions. But that's the explanation of these relatively routine budget amendments.
Excellent, thank you. So I'd like to turn some time over to Tina Cannon and Jeff Scott, members of the Budget Committee, if they have any specific questions for staff or our advisors.
I'm good. I think Andrew did an excellent job of explaining it. Pretty standard, so I'm good here.
Okay.
No questions for me either. Pretty standard. We've had to adjust for COVID on several things.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, committee members. So we'll go to item B, the review of the WFRC audit report for fiscal year 20. Andrew, turn it over to Lovett and Tim at this time.
Yeah, I'll look to Lovett for any intro comments, and then we'll go to our auditor, Tim.
Excellent.
Okay, as you know, Tim Reese with the auditing firm of Karen Hendricks, Stagg & Allen has completed the fieldwork for our FY20 audit, and draft report has been issued, and there were no findings, no question costs. We got an unqualified opinion, so I will let him take it from there, Tim.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Lovett. Everybody can hear me okay, just make sure of that.
Okay. Actually, you're pretty loud and caffeinated. We were hoping you'd be a bit more subdued.
Stand back, please. Okay. Yeah, we did complete the audit. You did receive.
Sorry, Andrew. I'm sure you're so embarrassed sometimes. I'm sorry.
No, I love it. I love it.
Okay. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
We did issue a qualified opinion. The records were good. We're doing audits remotely now. It's kind of interesting for us with some challenges there, but your company was used to doing remote because Lovett's been working remote, so you didn't have as much adjustment as some of the others. But we asked for representation from the management on our audit. Just a few comments. We did look at your budget that you just mentioned, and the budget for your June 2020 was well done. Your expenses were within budget, and that's good to have. So compliment your staff on that, accounting people. Our main concern, I guess, if we're auditors, would be trying to replace Lovett. grant accounting requires quite a bit of skill. You know, if you ask me on a scale of 1 to 10, what would be the most difficult accounting, I'd say probably be grants, which would probably be about a 9 or 10. You have to get a really good person there. And since you're so funded with grants, it's probably a real priority, probably get somebody in there that's really capable of doing that. Lovett's done a wonderful job and it's hard to replace her, but I guess Lovett has some things she wants to do. And move on, but that would be our main concern. Other concerns? Not really. Just a comment that we deal with estimates on our audit. Some of them, like the fixed asset lives, really don't hurt that much. You don't have any allowances accounts on any of your grants, but one that's really overlooked sometimes is your pension liability. We had one company we dealt with, they had a pension liability and they decided to contract out the employees to a private entity. And what turned out to be $100,000+ liability turned out to be $500,000 liability. And the retirement office wanted it. So it's a major estimate. It's something that, based on lives of people when they retire, based on earnings of investments. So that figure you see, your pension liability in there, can vary a lot, just to let you know. It's something we as CPAs can't say, this is definite what you owe, because it's based on a lot of estimates. Are there any questions or concerns that you budget committee has on the audit?
Tina, Jeff, appropriate if you have any questions, being that financial folks that you are.
I don't. I briefly went through, and like I say, it looks good to me. Love it. Staff does an amazing job, and we're going to miss Love It greatly.
That's what I would echo is I opened it and quickly perused it after I got it this morning, but we discussed any concerns that I had in our last meeting, and I think we've addressed all of those in looking through this. So it looks good to me. And
okay.
I don't know how you do this commute over the phone. To me, that makes even more of these compliance issues difficult. So I really commend you on the job that you do.
I'll never forget old what's her name.
All right, Yogi Berra.
I will remember Love It for the rest of my life because I love it.
Well, can I just want to note also, I am commenting about Love It. I mean, Tim raises as a concern, and it is a valid one, transitioning CFOs. Lovett has done a wonderful job and has done us the great favor, truthfully, of postponing her retirement to help us through this period of time. And she's, you know, keeps going, working hard and working strong and doing a great job. And I keep telling her that we want her to stay as long as she's willing to. But that she's going to determine when her departure is. Just as a brief update, not to get into any details, but as you all know, we did post the position for CFO, went through a process, and that process sort of was cut short by the pandemic hitting. We pushed pause on it. We're going to restart that. Commissioner Scott has been terrific of participating with us all the way through. So we're going to be restarting that process in the next little bit. And I would note that our plan continues to be to have an overlap, to hire somebody and have Lovett and that new person overlap in their time so there can be a really good knowledge transfer so no balls get dropped. We're really proud of that. Again, having the unqualified opinion from Tim, particularly navigating through the pandemic transition, and are proud of the dedication that our staff has put in and the success we've had there. So I want to say kudos to Lovett again. Then Tim, I actually have one question for you. You raised the issue about pension liability. I just want to make sure, are you saying that you have a concern with regard to WFRC's pension liability, or are you flagging that as a general matter to pay attention to?
Just general, as long as you are not terminating your entity, they just adjust your contributions to that. But this was based, what we had was based on somebody actually wanting to go inactive from the system. Okay. And then we caught up to him. But I wouldn't be a concern about that you have to pay it right now because of just things. But if something happened, then that probably would be something to look at, I guess. But just as auditors, we mentioned that, somebody says, is this exactly what you owe? And we can't say, yay, you know.
Okay, that was my understanding also. I just wanted to confirm that, you know, for the record also. Lovett, do you want to add anything?
Well, you know, a few years ago, they started making us put that information in the audit report. I don't think about it too much, because if you do, it's kind of scary. But that said, I mean, the approach to dealing with that is that the legislature sets the rates every year, and the current employers, much like Social Security does, it's a liability we're not ever, I won't say never, but most likely never, ever going to have to deal with. It's just, it's odd that it's in there. And to me, I think it looks scary, but it's not. It's, yeah.
Love it. Didn't this come up with Dan Lillenquist? Wasn't this part of the work that Dan Lillenquist did on changing the state structure on it, making sure that we were fully funded? I thought that's where this came from, and we've adjusted it so many times through the legislature that it's hard to keep up on the changing requirements and fully fund a prior liability, the new standard, if that makes any sense. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Utah state pension is well funded by most standards. One of the healthiest in the country, as I understand it. It's just, but however, reporting the potential liability in the audit report, that's a relatively new GASB, I can't remember the number, but anyway, that's an accounting standard that was added a few years ago. You'll find, I believe next year is when we have to start reporting the lease, the potential liability of future lease payments in the audit, correct, Tim? Doesn't that go into?
Well, maybe. The virus has kind of raised havoc with that. They keep delaying it. And right now, I'm really not sure. I think it'll probably be June, but they delayed some of our accounting standards because of the COVID-19. So we're trying to keep up on that. If they,
that's why I'm leaving, because I don't want to deal with that entry.
Well, if they delay it for another year, we'll keep you another year then.
Nope. I'm going
to go. Lovett, that is exactly what I just said about tax changes. If we're going to change presidents again and change tax policy one more time, I'm done. I'm too old for this.
I know. Just buy the software. Let them do it.
Done.
Okay. Do you want any?
Well, okay. Oh, it seems as though there's someone with him.
Yeah, I'm just Steve Capson. It's been a pleasure. I'm the partner here at the firm that is kind of assuming a lot of Tim's role, as Tim is stepping down to be more of our very capable auditor in the field. And it's just been a pleasure to work with you in Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Man, if I had a wry sense of humor between Lovett and Tim both leaving, that would be the perfect ripe opportunity for some unscrupulous things. But I do not have a wry sense of humor, so I would not ever think of saying something like that in a recorded public meeting.
I'm going to just mute myself.
My objective in the next couple of months before I leave public service like this is to get as many awkward kind of grins from my peers as possible.
You're doing well.
You know, I really enjoy you guys, and there's no way I would joke like that if I ever thought anybody took me seriously like that. So Andrew, it has been my pleasure to work with you, but between me and Lovett and Tim apparently all getting better offers for our 9 to 5, I'm going to miss a lot of you people, and I'm not comfortable with warm and fuzzy, so I try to defray that with humor. All right, so moving along, that was not an action item. And let's see, we have not had anybody new join, right? I've got a full screen, and so I wouldn't see somebody if they did come in. But Andrew, would you please let me know if we get another member that joins us? I think you said that Jensen's not going to, so I think we've pretty much got everybody we're going to get today.
Correct.
Let's move to the next item on the agenda, number 5. It's the discussion of the audit function. Now, it is my recollection that most of us were on a previous call where we discussed the potential for that, you know, self-assessed audit from the state that Dougal's office has admonished us all to do. We were low risk, so it's fantastic. Again, kudos to Lovett and Andrew and staff, everybody. But as we always strive to improve here at WFRC, we're hopeful to make it even better and like next to no risk if we can. And one of those ways was to make sure that we had an audit committee. So I'm going to turn it back over to Andrew. You're unmuted, so how about I go to you first?
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. I'll make a few comments and then look to Lovett to add anything she'd like. As you noted, the recommendation was to have an audit committee. And the way that we executed that after following our discussion with this committee at the last meeting was to codify that the budget committee also serves as the audit committee. We took modifications to our accounting and administrative policy to you, the budget committee, and then to the last full council meeting, and those were adopted. Then following your direction, we thought about what is the best way to actually implement those new policies. And we have a path forward. It's relatively straightforward, and it's about enhancing our internal audit function. We obviously have an external audit function. You've just heard about it. But for internal audit, as a small organization, we have not hired a full-time internal auditor. We don't think that's practical to do. But we do think it would be prudent for us to contract for internal audit services. And so it's our intention to go out and procure an internal audit consultant. And the objective for that internal auditor as a starting point would be to build familiarity with our policies and then be available to do targeted reviews in particular areas of our work to look at compliance with our policies. And the reviews that they could do could come as a request of the WFRC staff and or as request from the Budget and Audit Committee. We think that could be a modest contract, you know, probably in the range of $10,000. And I'll say that one of the things that Lovett and Commissioner Milne and I have talked about is one benefit of actually bringing on such a consultant and doing it soon goes back to, again, the transition that we will be having at some point in the relatively near future of CFO, that going through that process, it will be good to have another party who has familiarity with our processes to ensure that that transition goes smoothly. So multiple reasons for us, we think, to go ahead and procure somebody. Now, this is a relatively small dollar amount, but the reason we're bringing it to you is because part of that function would be assisting the Budget and Audit Committee. As such, we'd welcome any of the members from the Budget Committee participating in that process. And what that means is if you want to review the procurement materials or the scope or participate in review of proposals that we may receive from outside consultants, we would welcome that from you. The only other thing that we're going to suggest is that, and we did it for this meeting, is that we provide you with a little additional information as a budget committee for each meeting, including bank reconciliations and check registers, as well as a budget and expenditure report, which shows how our line items are spending relative to the time of year. So what percent have we spent relative to what percentage of the year we've gotten through? We provided that to you in this packet for this meeting. We'd actually been providing that material to the full council for each council meeting, but we think it makes sense. And this is not just we think, but this is reflective of the conversation this budget committee had at the last meeting, that there's value in providing that to you as a budget committee ahead of time and doing a brief review of that and seeing if you have any questions. So that that completes my comments on this. So there's no action here. It's just sharing this with you. Lovett, what would you like to add to that?
Well, not a lot. As you know, as he said, the budget relative to expense report that you get, you've always gotten that as council members. Bringing it to you here is just kind of an extra preview of what it is and allow you to ask questions, because it's part of the consent agenda. Usually, you know, there aren't any questions or discussion about it. We've included a few footnotes with it, although it's so early in the year. This is through the end of August, of course, because September I'm just gathering. There's really not a lot to compare to relative to budget. As the year goes by, you're going to notice that some of these things are going to spend faster than the time or slower than the time. And that's considered normal. And if it's not, we're going to kind of highlight it in the footnotes and let you know that, hey, we're watching this. We may need to amend the budget. We may need to, you know, look more carefully at the expenditures, you know, whatever it is. That's the purpose of that report, is to give us, and I, you know, to let us know where we stand relative to the budget. The bank reconciliation, we have always given that to the chairman of the council. It's part of the check signing approval process that we go through. However, we don't generally send it out to the council at large. However, we think it makes sense to give it to the budget committee. It shows you where our cash accounts are, or, you know, what we've got in the bank, and you can kind of tell how it's coming in and going out. And of course, if you have any questions on that, please ask that as well.
The last thing I'll add and then turn it back to you, Commissioner Milne, is that this approach on contracting for an internal auditor was something that this approach, we asked Tim about this. We also talked with the state auditor's office about this approach, and they both thought that there was a reasonable and prudent approach to take. So, Commissioner Milne, back to you.
Thank you. We'll go with ladies first. Tina, anything to add to that or any questions?
Sorry, I was muted. Actually, that sounds like a fantastic idea. I'm curious who you're contracting with and do they travel? I'd like to implement that in the county as I leave. Just a thought. Because we're losing a lot of experience with this.
Mm-hmm. We will probably send it out as a request for qualification, request for proposal from various accounting firms. And so I have kind of a list of things. I assume it'll be Ned that writes that request up. But I have a number of things that I want to have included in that as, you know, what we're asking them to do, and to see, you know, we're going to look at their qualifications and honestly what they can do for the money that we have. So absolutely, we'll share that with you.
Okay. Thank you, Tina. Jeff, do you have anything?
The only thing I would potentially add is to echo what Tim mentioned earlier about grants. And if it is somebody that's looking over things, maybe they have a little bit of municipal experience. Mm-hmm. One thing that we've seen is with some of our smaller special service districts, they've had maybe a city manager, or they've had an auditor from the county or something come in and just review their things. And obviously this is a bigger scope, but if you can find somebody that does have that grant experience, I think you'll get a lot better review and a better outcome.
Well, I'm going to second you on that one, Jeff, because we just ran into that with we switched to auditors because it was the end of a 5-year period and felt like it was a good time for a switch. But they went with the low bid who didn't have any county experience but had a lot of municipal experience. Well, there's a lot of difference in how you handle finances between a county and a city. So we've had it added $20,000 to our expense this year just on that item alone, just because they needed to be brought up to speed. So that is a really good point.
Yeah, I'll echo what Tina just said. A few years ago, we tried a new auditor. I was very unhappy with the experience, and multiple departments mentioned how they felt like they were training them rather than just simply asking questions. So that's a very valid perspective to take, is, you know, if you're willing to take the low cost and realize that you may be teaching them more than they know, that's a valid perspective. But on the other hand, it's like so many things, you get what you pay for, and might be worth in the ranking criteria, Levitt and Andrew, to think about, you know, as we're considering an external contractor to help us with that, maybe some sort of weighting towards experience. Just a really good point, Jeff. Thank you so much for bringing it up. And we really appreciate you giving us something good visually to look at when you speak. Yeah,
that black screen is just such an improvement, Jeff.
It shows your heart. So I do appreciate the symbolism. All right. Let's move. Oh, there he is.
Oh.
You're muted, Jeff.
Sorry. The lighting in my office for some reason comes out yellow. And so I don't want you to think I have jaundice. And so I'm thinking of you.
No, we don't think you have jaundice at all. It's actually a very warm color.
Thank you.
We just think that it's vitamin D therapy. So that's very good. All right. Our next item is Executive Director's Report. So Andrew, back over to you.
Thank you. And I'm watching the clock. It's 11:52 and we pledge to be done by noon. With that understanding, there's only one item that I wanted to bring up to you. And Commissioner Milne, you know, I'll look to you to jump in, of course, here. And that is, this is again a continuation of a conversation we had at a previous Budget Committee meeting about the WFRC lease for our building. You remember we talked about the possibility of doing an extension, up to a 10-year extension on our current 10-year lease with the ability to have, as a tenant in these times, have strong negotiating leverage to change our 3% annual base rent inflator to a 2% base inflator over an extended period of time, which, you know, the idea behind that is to give us a certainty and stability over a longer period of time in our budget and in our housing. And there's definitely pros and cons to that. The pro for the sort of cautiously minded or conservatively minded is the certainty that we would have. And even though right now demand is significantly decreased for commercial real estate, I think it's entirely likely that come 2029, when our lease is up, that a mix of demand, commercial and residential, could mean that rather than being in a 3% position for inflation, if we wanted to extend our lease, our landlord could validly say, no, we got to bump you up by 10%, 15, 20% in one fell swoop to meet market conditions. Or not. I mean, it just, there's a lot of uncertainty. So one approach is to do that extension. One of the items that we also discussed at our last meeting and we've discussed over time is, does it even make sense, or what's the best approach, the optimal approach for WFRC? Should we be renting or should we be owning? And if we do a long-term extension, does that mean that we're not really in the place of looking for ownership interest? I would note that, you know, the option to own could come up at any time, you know, 5 years in, 10 years in, 15 years in. I'm not sure that's how much that really impacts the decision about a long-term extension. The only other thing I do want to add, and Commissioner Milne, this is a little new info since when we spoke about this last week. Ned reminded me that we'd talked in the past with UTA, who is undergoing a process to basically rebuild their headquarters over a period of time. We had talked about with them the possibility of cohabitating with them in some way. I had a conversation with Carlton Christensen, who's the chair of the UTA board, and he about this, and he said they're actually on track to do that building headquarters rebuild and with occupancy somewhere around 2029, and is open to the possibility of us buying in to own a segment of that space. So it's a possibility there, sort of build to suit under what would presumably be favorable conditions for cohabitation and ownership. So it's just a possibility that's out there. I think our what I'd really like to do actually is just have a conversation, two conversations, one ongoing with UTA and then another with our landlord, the Cicero Group, just to explore possibilities. We wouldn't, and in fact couldn't, enter into any, you know, make any final decisions without coming back to this committee. But I do think it's a fruitful conversation to have to explore both possible paths. So with that, having eaten up more time than I intended, I'll turn it back to you, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you. And I did have the opportunity to hear about the UTA potential when we last spoke. So recognizing that, though I may have, Tina and Jeff, do you have any questions or additional thoughts on this subject of lease versus ownership, right time, and possible approach for negotiation for Andrew?
Well, I would say that we're in a buy and hold market because I see inflation coming, but I think I've expressed that before. But I also see the advantage of cohabitation with UTA because there is a lot of similarity in what you do. A lot that would facilitate a lot of communication. Shorten the commute for lunch every now and again. But both good plans. I think you keep your options up. Keep looking at it and see what we can do and where we can save. It's always a good thing.
Jeffrey?
I like the idea of renegotiating the lease right now because the market is a little softer in commercial. We're not seeing that in residential by any means, but in commercial, it definitely is because of COVID, especially in the space that you're in. If you weren't there, it could be an electronic store. I mean, it's a little bit different because it is more, you know, office space on your level, but it's in a primarily, you know, retail focused area. And so I think renegotiating right now is great. If they won't do it for 10, maybe they would do it for 5. And then you're at least locked in for that. Most of the landlords are okay about letting somebody out of a lease if another tenant comes in, or if there's the ability to sublease. And then that does leave the option open for purchase. I think each year we get further into it though, the option to purchase becomes more difficult because the amount that you have from the sale of the building, might not keep up with inflation on property and commercial construction. So it's like, Tina mentioned, it's kind of a fine line of balance there, but I like the worst thing that they'll tell you is no. And then we're still in our lease.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That makes me wonder this question, Andrew. What kind of investment vehicle, if any, do we have those sale proceeds in? I'm sure you've gone over it before, and I'm sure I've been told a time or two, and I don't remember if we've just got it sitting as liquid cash on a shelf, or which, to Tina's point, you know, if the feds keep borrowing as much money against future generations, while we may still have plenty of borrowing capacity, when you monetize your debt like that, you see pretty quick inflation. So do we have it in an investment vehicle of any kind?
Love it.
That money right now is just sitting in a PTIF account. Last year, it only earned $24,000, I think. Mm. I'm expecting a little bit less this year.
Love it. What's the balance?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's like a million one, something like that.
What was the percentage last year, Lovett?
24.
I'm sorry?
So I was just figuring it out for him, but go ahead and answer.
It was 24,000 for the year.
About 0.2.
Yeah.
Not good.
No, and it's going to be worse this year, by the way. It's down a little bit this year.
Yeah.
Well, good news is it's not like it was significantly less than inflation. So that is something that I would leave this body to contemplate for years coming. If we're going to continue with the lease, and if, you know, this is now for different policymakers to advance going forward, if the thought is to retain that as whether leveraged equity for grant opportunities with the feds or state or partner counties, if it is ever converted into a revolving loan fund or whatever that might look like, we may just want to contemplate, you know, at least keeping up with what inflation is. Love it.
I was just going to point out that you actually do have that on your bank reconciliation. It tells you how much is in the building fund, but right at the end of August, it was $1,159,000. And the daily rate was like 0.5458.
So Lovett, one thing that I would caution on monetary policy as we finish out this year is if you see them do another stimulus package and continue in the lockdowns, that is prime indication that we're going to go inflationary, because you can't keep people in their homes where they can't spend and yet add that much more money to the market and not see it inflate. It's just, that's just math. So keep that in mind. We need to look at something else for that investment just to keep up with inflation.
And I will tell you that investing is not going to be my strong suit. You might want a professional to talk to about that. I don't give investment advice.
Good answer. That's what I say.
Yep. And I'm sure Tim loved to hear that. Steve too.
That's where Jeff comes in.
On that thought, though, we may also be prohibited, much like counties and cities are, with certain PTI. Ned's nodding his head. So there are likely some restrictions on just how aggressive we may be able to do that, which is for good public policy. Me being the risk taker that I am in the private sector, as well as just my personality, may not love that. But I, at the same time, totally get the wisdom in it when it's hard-fought dollars like that. So that being said,
I was going to say, it is governed by the Utah Money Management Act, and there is a certain list of dealers that you can use, and it has to be a pretty conservative investment regardless. But again, I would not want to be the one who made that decision, honestly.
Yep. Okie doke. Well, we are up at the noon hour, and Andrew, do you have anything else to add?
Well, I just want to, what I'm hearing here is an openness to our exploring, not finalizing, exploring all paths, a possible lease extension, a possible ownership opportunity, and just continuing to work with this committee as we go forward. Is that fair?
That's fair. And that's, Andrew, one of the things, I think the point I'm trying to make on the money is you can't, if you're going to explore purchase instead of the lease, that would at least keep up with inflation, because you would be experiencing that growth in real assets. And so that might be a good option at this point if you're seeing a continuation of the trend of inflation.
Yeah, I totally understand. And it's a great point. I mean, perhaps mitigated by the Fed saying they're not going to increase interest rates for, you know, as long as 3 years. I mean, who knows? We're not out looking to buy something right now. We don't want to move right now. Moving takes a lot of work, as everybody knows. So the way I look at this is it's more exploring the possibility with UTA of a planned move at some point, you know, down the line. I recognize it's not ideal for the proceeds that we have from the sale of the last building, and it falls behind, and that's problematic. But I wouldn't, and I know you're not suggesting this, I wouldn't want to have that drive our decisions about moving. It's just you're right. It's a factor to keep in mind. And, you know, within the flexibility we have, we can look at other investment vehicles, given that we're not looking at using those funds anytime soon. So we can do a little exploration on that and welcome any advice you all may have on that. So Commissioner, that's all we've got here. I always just want to make sure, Lovett, Wayne, Ned, or Andrea, is there anything that you feel like in this meeting we should have brought up that we didn't?
Wayne,
I see you on mute.
No. Ned?
No.
Okay. So Commissioner Milne, then the council meets on Thursday the 22nd. We didn't have a quorum today, so we can't say the budget committee officially, but we, you know, recommends adopting, in that it wasn't an action, but we can say, I think it's fair to say that we talked with the budget committee. I don't know, we'll figure out the wording. But
yeah, I feel good about that. Saying something like, I mean, you're the wordsmith even more than I am, but I feel comfortable saying those that were present were all, you know, in agreement.
Okay. Something like that. Well, I'm looking around and I think everybody's good with that. So, yep. Okay. Okay.
Well, then our next order of business is to let you know that the next meeting, tentatively at least, is January 2021. but then says confirmed date and more information forthcoming. So I'm guessing that it is tentative. It would be January, and that confirmation of that date and any other information would be forthcoming. So look forward to seeing you all at our next council meeting. I will take this opportunity to say that I'm going to miss the opportunity to work beside every single one of you, except for Tim and Steve. You've seemed really nice, but I haven't had as much history with y'all. Seem like very nice individuals. As the only one here not wearing glasses, I appreciate the secrecy I'm able to keep my screen. I can't, I'm not showing you the rest of my screen like I can sometimes see from the reflection of your, Ned, did you just take yours off?
Yes.
Anyway, all right, so all my humor aside, I really do think a lot of you. I can think of each one of you, Wayne, from back in my days with Twilla City, getting to first get to know you through RPO and then the first days of County Commission, and Ned, you know, the great support that you've been with WFRC in a very almost quiet but strong like support there. Andrew, just a wonderful friendship. You tolerate me like few do, and really appreciate that. Love it. You are every bit the consummate professional. Everybody's been, you know, heaping those accolades upon you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed working with you too.
Andrea, I have rarely seen a more loyal person to their boss and supervisor as you. Mm-hmm. You are truly just awesome in that way. And I appreciate all that you do to make sure that we have the packets and the information. Jeff and Tina, of course, I have another opportunity in November. I still plan on taking advantage of to say thank you and to see you in person. But for the benefit of these folks to know, I've really appreciated the friendship I've gained with each one of you. And so with that, it has been my honor to serve for a short period of time as some sort of mouthpiece in this official capacity as board or budget chair. I'm really awkward at these sort of things, but I did, because I am, and I'm usually so aloof in my personality, I wanted you to know there was some real sincerity in my appreciation of working with each of you. So without further ado.
Sean, we served together so many times that will you stop making me cry at all the different events when you say goodbye? It's getting really awkward.
Well, here, I'll make it really awkward for you. You and I, Madam Secretary, and I as chair of USAC, together with Jack Lytle, have got to get our butt in gear for an agenda in November.
Wow. USAC staff has really get the agenda to print.
What's that?
I had some really good thoughts on it. What I should have known when I started that might have brought me back. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? I knew what I needed to do to be brought back, but sometimes you just get a little jaded, I guess. Anyway, all right. I would accept one last motion.
Real briefly, Commissioner, thank you. Thank you very much. You've done a great job as Budget Committee Chair. You've been an exceptional member of the Wasatch Front Regional Council. We're going to have other opportunities to say thank you, but in this group, I just want to second Commissioner Scott's comment in the chat. We love you, man. As a colleague, as a leader, and Sean, as a friend, thank you very, very much for everything.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Okie doke.
Okay.
Well, I guess, wait a minute. I was going to say, I guess I'm looking for a formal motion to adjourn. Since we were informational only today, we're going to just adjourn. No need for a formal motion. Okay. See y'all.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Chairman.
See ya.